Looking at Genesis chapter 40, beginning of the verse 1, hear now the word of the Lord. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "Well, this is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all of his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dreams are funny things, aren't they? Some people say they remember them all the time, the dreams they've had, and others say they never really remember their dreams at all. I've kind of learned personally that if you concentrate on it and try to remember them as soon as you wake up, you can actually train yourself to remember your dreams, or at least the last dream that you had. But it usually doesn't matter if I remember it, right? Because they're so goofy and silly or scary, I don't want to remember them anymore. I just don't want to remember them. It was like the dream I had last week as I'm preaching or preparing a sermon about dreams. I'm a little more conscious of it. The dream I had about, I had a baby King Kong, and I was using it to try to capture the real adult King Kong. And I haven't seen these movies in a long time, so it wasn't fresh in my mind, but it was a strange, goofy dream I had. It hasn't been interpreted yet, so if you're out there, come see me afterwards. Some of our dreams can seem quite prophetic and profound, too. Yeah, you can tell there's maybe some kind of deep meaning behind it, and you wonder what it is, or that God may be even trying to tell you something about it, but who's going to interpret that dream with any accuracy, right? I mean, who knows dreams? Right? Dreams are funny things. In the ancient world, in Egypt especially, where Joseph was leading the prison there as a prison boss, the people truly believed that the gods would communicate to you in your dreams. And it took a special class of people called the experts the dream masters who had these books chock full of dreams that people have had, and they wrote them down, and there were instructions in these books for how to interpret dreams. So if you had the knowledge, if you had the education, if you did your rounds and your clinical rounds with different population groups, you just might be able to belong to this special class of experts, dream interpreters or decoders. The problem was they're not always around, and they cost a lot of money usually. The king would hire one, or more than one, of course, and they would make sure that his dreams were always in a positive light, right? In the modern world today, modern psychology, dreams are often considered part of our personal archaeology, if you will. In other words, dreams are the mind's way of working through all of the experiences you've had during the day, the feelings you felt, the thoughts you've thought, the people you've met, the conversations you've had. And the mind is digging through all of the dirt of the day in order to maybe help resolve unresolved conflict or deal with strong emotions that you had during the day, ongoing anxiety or stress, or maybe just to help put some things in order to try to make meaning of your days or your life. The brain works really hard while we sleep. Sometimes the brain is still working on events of the past, like traumatic events of childhood or abuse that has happened years ago. Repressed memories sometimes get regurgitated in the night so your brain could chew on that cud a little longer to try to make sense of what happened to you. And it does this by creating these fanciful stories in our minds and images that flash across our minds, those things that we tend to remember or forget quickly after we wake up. And you might actually physically feel sad or depressed or anxious or stressed when you wake up from these dreams, because they feel so real, like I was really there. And sometimes you have to catch yourself like, wait a minute, that didn't really happen. That was in my dream. But it feels like it did happen. For psychologist Carl Jung, dreams are like a type or an archetype of a common human experience, like our human emotions. Dreams are this generalized field of reality. So whatever your dream is about, it's really about your anxiety you're dealing with or a grief that you're working through, for examples. Emotions are the common human experience. So the content doesn't really matter, but what are the emotions that you're dealing with? That's Carl Jung. Well, that's how many people in the modern West, anyways, kind of understand dreams. It's often self-focused. What does the dream say about me? What does it say about what's going on inside of me? That's one other way to interpret dreams, is to consider all the different characters in your dream, whether they're male or female or monsters or King Kongs, that they represent some part of you, inside of you, whatever that is. So it's sort of that self-reflective understanding of interpreting what you're dreaming about. But the dreams of the Bible sometimes are different, and maybe you've had different dreams too. The dreams in the Bible, like in Genesis chapter 40, are not just about somebody working through past experiences, but they are future-focused. Something is about to happen in the future, and instead of being a reflection of generalized reality or human emotion, they get very specific and concrete, although very symbolic still. The dream still comes as a gift from God, but its interpretation doesn't rest with the experts or their dream books or them trying to scientifically deduce exactly what the meaning of the dream is. The interpretation is done by the power of God who gave the dream in the first place. And God grants that gift of interpretation to some people like Joseph. Do not interpretations belong to God? Joseph testifies in the prison there. Verse 8, if they do, I wonder what God is trying to tell me about King Kong and Baby Kong. I'll figure that out later. Well, back in chapter 37 of Genesis, Joseph, literally in the Hebrew, is called that master of dreams or lord of the dreams. Remember, Joseph had those two dreams early on when he was 17. All of his brothers were sheaves of grain, and they were bowing down to him, and he was a sheave of grain. And then he had his second dream, right? And that's when the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were all bowing down to him in his dreams. And this was one of those feel-good, positive dreams that Joseph not only remembered, but he felt compelled to tell everybody in the family about. And his brothers, you remember, don't take too kindly to the whole family bowing down to Joseph, that runt of the litter. that daddy's boy. And so you remember they throw Joseph down into an empty well. They sell him as a slave to a caravan of people, Ishmaelites, going to Egypt. And after a while, they made Jacob, his father, believe that Joseph was torn apart by a wild animal. So then Joseph, he finds himself serving a high official in the king of Egypt named Potiphar. But Potiphar's wife frames him for rape. And so we last left Joseph in the dungeon of Potiphar's own home, with the warden of the prison actually utilizing his leadership skills now and putting him in charge of all that's going on in the prison. Now, in our reading of chapter 40 of Genesis, it begins by saying, sometime later, and we don't know how long later that was, but sometime later, the king's own cupbearer and baker offended the king of Egypt, and we don't know why. We don't know how, but somehow these two characters offended the king, and they end up in the same jail with Joseph. These were two high trust positions in the king's house. The cupbearer, as you can understand, would hold the cup and bring the drinks to the king, but he would taste them first to see if there was poison, if there was poison in it. And if there was, the cupbearer would die before the king got the drink, right? So he was in charge of the safety of the drinks for the king. And the baker, of course, would prepare foods and baked goods and would eat them first, too, to make sure they weren't poisoned in front of the king. So if it was, he would die and not the king. So these are two high trust positions in the king's court. But somehow they offended the king of Egypt, and they end up in this jail. And the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph and to his care. Joseph's hopes and dreams are up and dashed down over and over and over again in his life. He's raised up to be daddy's favorite and dreaming of ruling the family one day, and then dashed down to the pit and sold as a slave by his own brothers. He's raised up to be in charge of Potiphar's house, only to be dashed down and brought up on false charges, dashed down into the dungeon. And then he's raised up to being a prison boss and a dream interpreter, to being forgotten and left to rot in jail. Mention me to Pharaoh, he pleads with the cupbearer in verse 14, and get me out of this prison. Joseph's only dream right now, it seems, is just to be free from this prison. But instead of being set free, he's forgotten, it says. You ever feel forgotten? Left behind by God or anyone else? The psalmist cries out, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? He feels God's forgotten him. Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? The apostle Paul had faced his own fair share of suffering and lonely nights as he lived out the gospel dream that God had given him. Sometimes we have those moments in life where it feels like we're forgotten. Nobody remembers me. Left behind, and we may be wondering if God even notices me anymore. Well, one night, both the cupbearer and the baker, it says in verse 8, they had a dream in the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. And that morning, Joseph happens by, and he notices that they look dejected, it says, or other translations say glum. And so he asks them, why do you look so glum today? Why do you look so dejected, so sad? Verse 7. And they explain that each of them have these dreams, but there's no one there in prison to interpret them. They know their fate is on the line in prison, and those dreams could help give them some direction, some guidance, and maybe even some hope if they understood what they meant. And then Joseph testifies, saying, do not interpretations belong to God? Not just any of the gods, but to the one and true living God, Yahweh God. Tell me your dreams, he says. Dream interpretations come from the Lord, not from analytical decoding by the experts or therapists or government officials. God reveals things that the cupbearer and the baker do not know about the future. God reveals things about the future that Pharaoh doesn't even know, even with all of the experts at his disposal. The future is in God's hands, and only he can reveal the meaning of these future-oriented dreams. So God is with Joseph, we're told over and over again in these passages. But God is with Joseph not merely for his own personal comfort and success to help him win friends and influence people. No, God is with Joseph. God is with Joseph even in Egypt, in a land far, far away from home in the promised land. God has a plan of salvation for the world. Joseph is God's man, God's agent, God's ambassador, even from within the evil empire, even in Egypt, even in prison. God is working out his plans and purposes through Joseph. He's not with Joseph just to make him comfortable, make him happy. God is with Joseph to work out God's plans of salvation for the world. So the cupbearer goes first. He says, I had a dream about this vine that had three branches and grapes were coming on it, and I was squeezing them into Pharaoh's cup. And so Joseph immediately tells him, well, in 3 days, the Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position as a cupbearer. But remember me and show me kindness, he pleads with him, so that he can get me out of this prison. Well, then the baker, he thinks to himself, well, he got a favorable interpretation, maybe I will too. So the baker tells Joseph his dream about these three baskets of bread on his head with birds eating bread out of the top basket. And now that doesn't sound very favorable to me, and it wasn't a favorable dream for him. In 3 days, Joseph says, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body in a pole, and the birds will eat your flesh. And Pharaoh did exactly that on his birthday, of all days. And it says in verse 23, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph and forgot him. Is there a sadder way to end a chapter in the Bible? Joseph is forgotten. Joseph speaks, though, and it happens, whether for life or for death. But even so, the man who apparently, according to these dreams, is born to rule is also the pitiful one who has to rely on a fellow prisoner to remember him. And once again, it appears that life is giving Joseph a raw deal. Even the man or woman of God must suffer and struggle in life, especially living in the world, in the empire, far away from the promised land. There is struggle, there's battle, there's ups and downs, there are allies and there are enemies in the world. The faithful are taught here, I think, how to live a life of faith within a hostile culture, something we can learn about today, how to live and be faithful to God in a hostile culture. The faithful are called to depend upon God fully and testify about him in the course of their life's ups and downs, because all of us have ups and downs in life. It's easy to testify about God when we're on our ups and feeling great, a lot harder when we're down, when we're in prison, we're in a job that we hate. The faithful are called to continue to be faithful servants of others and of God and continue to be faithful in the little things. We see that over and over again in Joseph's life, how he continues to be faithful in the little things of life. Even those who are not believers can recognize and reward things like hard work and honesty, leadership, showing up on time, following through and following up on jobs and assignments that you're given. And that too gives glory to God. So the God of dreams has a dream of his own, though, that promise to Abraham, to make his name great, to bless him, and to bless all the nations of the world through him and his family. And that dream is once again threatened. It's left to rot in jail. So the question we're left with is, does God forget Joseph? Does God forget the dream when everyone else does? The answer, of course, is of course not. God is still with Joseph even when those around him forget him. God is with Joseph and will keep his promises even when everyone else around him forgets their promises. And God is still with us too, even when we feel forgotten or left behind, or when others don't keep their promises to us and we feel betrayed by parents or friends or coworkers. What of our dreams? What of our dreams for family and home or career or country? Are we to give up at the single sight of a single struggle? Of course not. We must embrace the struggle, embrace the hardship, and fight as a normal part of living a life in this world that is far away from our true home in heaven. There is a struggle in this life. All the while, though, remembering that God is with us, that God is with us, working out his purposes for our lives and for the world. God is with us and for us in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's own Son who struggled and suffered, who was forsaken and left on the cross and died for us for the forgiveness of sins. And yet God brought him back to life from the grave that we might have life, have eternal life, life to the full. And that we, as Abraham's children by faith, may carry the dream, the promise, into the world, into our worlds, to our empires, our hostile cultures. And we, as the ones set apart by the promises of baptism, we continue to live by the gospel and testify to gospel truth in our lives and in our spheres. And we bring a blessing. We bring a message from God who says, I love you. I love you, and I want to be with you. I've sent my son for you. Would you repent and believe? Now that's a dream and a promise worth remembering. Would you pray with me? God of dreams, visions, hopes, and aspirations, you guide us, you speak to us, and inspire us to be and do more than we had ever imagined possible. Thank you for giving the gift of dreams and the gift of dream interpreters. Thank you for staying with us even when life seemed to be racing downhill. We know you have a purpose for each one of us. You know each of us by name here this morning, and you call us to yourself through the blood of Jesus, your Son. Teach us to rely upon you, to seek you in prayer, and to have the courage to keep fighting and trusting and hoping when the days seem dark or bleak. All praise and glory and honor be yours, Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit is one God, now and forever. Amen.